Welcome to the Index Podcast, hosted by Alex Kahaya. Plug in as we explore new frontiers with Web3 and the decentralized future.
Hey everyone, and welcome to The Index, where we talk with the leading entrepreneurs, builders, and investors who are building the future of the internet. We do this because we believe that these people in general, are worth knowing, and we want to share the stories behind why these people are here building for a better future. My name is Alex Kahaya. I'm your host. And today I'm really excited to have Ming here, who's the founder of Raccoons Labs, which is building and designing, creating projects on Solana. The most notable one you'll know is Jupiter, which is a liquidity aggregator on Solana. It offers a range of tokens and routing discovery between token pairs and is by far the best DEX I've ever used personally. Super excited to have you here on the show. Thanks for taking the time.
Awesome. Hey guys, thanks for having me, man.
I want to start off with, you know, why are you building in Web3? Like, you get up every morning, you are like super active on Twitter, you're super active with your community. Like, I can tell just from watching your Twitter account how hard you hustle, and I know you're a founder, so I know what that is like. So what's driving you? Why are you here pushing so hard to build what is now the number one, you know, DEX on Solana?
First off, I don't think we see ourselves as like a DEX. We see ourselves as like building an exchange. I mean, our goal is just quite simply to build the best exchange in the world. We don't care decentralized, centralized, right? That's the point, right? And the reason I say that is because of, I do actually think that decentralized exchanges have a really big advantage, right? In the long term, over centralized exchanges, right? And I think our goal is to manifest that possibility, to say, oh, can we create an environment whereby people really prefer using decentralized systems, right? Rather than centralized systems. So I think that also answers like why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm vastly, right, more interested in the world of possibilities, right, by decentralized systems. If you think about it, right, there are almost two versions of the world, right? One version that is governed by rules and system, like existing systems, and a lot of things are codified, whether it's a legal system or whether it's like a financial system. I mean, the financial system is probably the most codified system, right, in the world, right? I mean, apart from the government system. And even in the tech industry, right, there are a lot of norms. You know, like if you go in the valley, you go to like anywhere in the world, right? Even those very open industries are also quite codified, right? They have the entire power structure of VCs and everything and stuff. Both at a very human level, personal level, like my preference, I do like working within those social structures. I like being in a social structure whereby like it's a lot more open and experimental. I can kind of figure out who I want to work with. I don't have to work with this guy just because he is like well-known in the valley. Both sides have been wrong. People who emphasize, oh my god, these centralized systems are so much better than decentralized ones. I mean, obviously, right? You know, centralized systems had like how many years, you know, how many centuries to evolve, you know? I also feel like on the other spectrum, everyone who is like preaching decentralization nonstop is also kind of like, it's also they're wrong as well, right? It's like, come on, man, come on, we all know, right? We work in industry, we know, right? Decentralized networks and communities are as full of shit, right? If not more, right? You know, they're centralized ones, right? I'm actually not really saying that like decentralized systems are better than centralized ones. I'm saying at a personal level, I think I'm much more interested in what I see are the much less codified and much more unlimited, right? No ways we can bring these like systems compared to kind of like trying to change the centralized systems for many, many reasons, yeah. But those two kind of give the context about why I'm so active. That question really comes in like two ways, right? Number one, why am I motivated to kind of like, you know, build Jupiter, and also kind of why I'm active, right, on like social media and stuff. The reality is that if you look at my social media and community thing, I actually have been very quiet, right, for the last 2 years. I actually haven't really been like tweeting much and everything over the last for a long time. I feel like now we are kind of transiting into a phase. I really think of it as pre and post Bitcoin. I think pre Bitcoin, I'm not sure if you saw the presentation idea of Bitcoin. Pre Bitcoin, I think we were quite internally operated, right? We're a product, right? Okay, quite simple. Our now is like best price, best UX, and best token selection, right? So it was very internal. After Bitcoin, I think something shifted. It went from like having to work to build the best product, now to build the best community. And then a really, really big part of building the best community, right? And I'll be frank here. You have to communicate strategy. People have to know what you're thinking. And I think that's actually one thing I think people kind of like are sometimes shy to say, or they don't want to say it, right? You know, because they're like, oh, okay, cool. Or I'm going to say something that the community doesn't like. They can push back on it, you know, and I can't do it. Being able to talk through these things and handle it is actually a really important part of the job. The mistake that I think a lot of founders do in this space is that they think, oh, I have my job, which is like building. And I have the side job, right, which is talking to my community. At the end, that's wrong. I think if you want to do a crypto startup, a Web3 startup, if you want to take funds from everybody, right, if you want to create a fund, if you want to create a product that everyone uses and stuff, then I feel like you have to treat that conversation as your job. And that's kind of how I see it anyway, you know? Yeah, that's it.
That's really interesting. So it sounds like you know, one of the big driving motivations for you is just you have a passion and interest in how decentralized systems can be just more accessible to everyone because they're more open.
If you think about it, right, there's nothing preventing someone from using a bank, any kind of bank, or any kind of thing, right, from a technical perspective, right? Nothing. But it's more like there's a certain like a codification of how things are supposed to work. They are there for both necessarily and unnecessary reasons, right? It's really, really, really hard, right, for a builder or a user to kind of break through that wall. And I think that wall is actually not there, you know, in Web3. And I love that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw Vibhu, you know, the founder of Drip, talking about the same thing with community. It was really interesting, like how he views that as his number one job is just communicating on Twitter, you know, with the community. And I understand like why founders are hesitant to do that. And there's two things, like, yeah, you're shy or like don't know what to say, but also it does take up a lot of energy, right? And like you're putting a ton of energy into building and then like how much energy do you have left to talk to the community? Like you're human, right? At the end of the day. How do you manage that? You know, how do you manage building Jupiter and being so communicative and engaged in with the community? And I'm specifically like really interested in just in understanding if you have any process or like tips or things that you do that people can sort of actionably grab onto. I think that'd be super helpful.
It's actually both a spiritual thing and also both like very practical thing. And the spiritual thing is the philosophy, right? How you view the whole thing and that actually makes a huge difference. How much stress takes on you. And then at a practical level, yes, you do things on a daily basis, right, to help that, right? First of all, I don't think I'm doing that well, by the way. You know, just to be clear. I think I'm trying, you know, right? But because it's only a couple of months, you know, since I began like becoming a more public. So, you know, we can check it in a couple of years to see how it is. Even though I was more quiet on social media. But I was actually highly engaged in terms of problems, right? It's like if there's any like customer partner problem or like a partner opportunity or user problem, we were there, right? So we were quiet more in terms of broadcasting our values and everything, but we were still there. You know? Now is where we kind of start to broadcast our values and everything, you know? At a very, very philosophical level, you have to appreciate that, you know, we're all humans and people get anxious, you know, about their capital, right? About their gains. What might seem trivial to you because you are administering a large amount of tokens, right? Just take an add-on, for example, right? Say, you know, I'm administering, like, you know, 5 billion tokens, right? You know, right? So to me, it's very easy to become a number to me. It can be very meaningful, you know what I'm saying? Right? Especially if you're down bad. Right? Especially if you haven't recovered from the last, like, FTX stuff, and then you're trying to find a way back in the game. It can be extremely meaningful to you. These kind of things, right? So you have to understand, like, the anxiety there, right? I think once you kind of empathize with the anxiety there, then you go, okay, cool, all right, I get it. I get it. But if you go about it in the mindset that, oh, I'm giving free money, why are they so annoying? Then I feel like your stress is a lot higher, you know, because you start to see other people as problems versus as like other human beings, right? So I think that's actually a very important like philosophical mindset. And so that's a deep level. And then at a somewhat medium level is, I think, just communicating how you feel is often useful. They don't see you as a human. It sounds wrong, but they don't really see a human, right? They see you as like a founder, right? Or like a tech dude, right? You know, or a finance bro, right? Well, crypto bro, I think. And some people might even think that, oh, I'm the rich, I'm the good guy. But it's just like, hey, dude, you know what? I'm trying, man. You know, I think normally they actually are really understanding. You know, and even if they're always one or two that are not, I feel like the broader community is always understanding. So it's actually really helpful. And at a tactical level, I don't know, man, just take a lot of breaks, man. I have this flow way of working. I kind of just do whatever I feel like doing. And sometimes it's writing, and sometimes it's like debugging, sometimes it's product work, sometimes it's like talking to someone. At least for me anyway, I do recommend for everybody. Like, we are brought up mostly to have a to-do list, right? And be too productive, right? You know, but I personally don't really feel like that is the way to do it. To me, it's actually more like, you know, you're playing a basketball game, right? You know, yes, you have drilled certain things like many, many times over, right? I mean, I'm very, very well drilled in terms of product management, in terms of like team management, in terms of like, you know, coding things out, in terms of prototyping, right? In terms of communicating, right? I'm very well drilled in these things, right? But then you don't go to a basketball court, right? And be like, oh, I have practiced A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Let me do A, B, C. You can't do that, right? So it's more like, okay, cool, right? But then at the same time, if you're not well drilled, right, in A, B, C, D, F, G, you can't actually go out there and go like, you know, in execute in sequence you want, right? So I think for me, I feel it's actually two things, right? Number one is that you have to get extremely well drilled, right? At the key things. And this any key thing, right? And I mean any, right? Sometimes it's involved like communicating strategy. Sometimes it involves like having a very hard conversation. Sometimes it involves like admitting a fuck up. These things are very hard, right? You know, actually going in front of like 10,000 people. When I tweet something now, like, you know, 5,000 people read it. If I shit post, 5,000 people read it. And saying if I do a really big post, like maybe up to a million people read it, right? You know what I'm saying? It's a really broad range of people. And you're like, yeah, I fucked up, right? You know, do a lot of people is hard, right? But then you train that, right? You train that muscle, right? And then you just go, okay, cool, all right, now you can do anything. You think? So I think it's more like getting really well-trained. So I think technically, for a practical point of view, it's just getting extremely used, you know, to doing certain things, right? And then they just do them, you know? So those are the things that I personally do, and personally, and mindset as a person in the dog, you know, to make it easier, I think, yeah.
I really love the sports analogy. I use that a lot with my employees and like partners and stuff when we're talking about things. I think I was a wrestler. I wrestled for like...
Oh, really?
No way. I was like, yeah.
Can I come and preview?
Yeah. 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 We can.
I'm terrible. No, I can't do it. I'm so bad at all these things, right? I can't do it, but I love to just like, you know, do some stuff, you know?
Yeah. I just started doing jiu-jitsu again this year, which I'm really excited about. But I wrestled from the time I was like 9 until 19. It was like a formative, you know, experience. I draw from that experience a lot of my motivation and like, you know, use these analogies like, hey, you know, it's a double overtime right now and you need to get like an ankle pick to win. You know, you've got to like keep pushing until the end and like really just never give up, which is like 90% of entrepreneurship. But I use the same analogies for training and like, you're not always in double overtime. You're not always in that like key moment where you need to perform, but the things you're doing on a day-to-day basis that are part of your job are the reps that you need to succeed so that when you are in that double overtime situation and you're not at your best, you can win. Like I think about this every day almost is like, it doesn't matter how well I perform when I'm feeling good. It matters how well I perform when I'm feeling terrible. Right. And when I'm at my worst, like that is the time that actually matters. In your examples, you know, it's like that customer that's super pissed off at you. If you don't have the reps of practicing empathy, and you're having the worst day you're as a founder and you just blow up at the customer, what happens? You know, like if you don't communicate with them and just be human and have empathy, you fail big time. And yeah, that all comes from the practice and just the patience.
These kind of emotional strains add up. They crack over time, right? They just crack. You can work out every day. You can measure 400 pounds every day. I'm saying, right? You know, you get strong for a while. But eventually it just suddenly breaks, you know what I'm saying?
I look at everything I do as like training for my work. And that includes going for a workout and like getting enough sleep at night, not drinking alcohol. Like these are things that, you know, help you show up and perform at the level that you're performing, I'm sure. Because it's hard. What you're doing is impossibly hard.
Alcohol is so bad, man.
Yeah.
I think among all the vices, I think alcohol is the worst. I think alcohol literally does nothing for you. Have you read the Stephen Curry interviews and documentaries?
No.
They're so good. Basically, the way he does it, right, is like his most proud one thing, right? He always says this, right? No one works harder than me. And I love that because that is so within your control, right? I mean, how tall you are, you know, how strong you are, and how high you can jump and everything, it's kind of out of control. Right? There's this thing you can always dig deep to find, right? Which is like how hard you work, right? And hard work doesn't mean you just work hard, right? It means that you work in a very specific hard way, right? So for him, I think he would just like do star sprints, like he would just sprint around the court, and do a three-pointer, right? Do it, sprint, or hop, three-pointer. Dude, that's rough, man. It's nothing to stand there and just shoot. It's another thing to like just do a sprint and shoot. Holy fuck. And then he tends to like really emphasize how much like he do his drills. Like he'll push himself to the physical and mental limit, and then he'll do a drill there. It's not that hard to, you know, shoot when you are like, when legs are fresh, right? It's not hard to do a crypto startup or any startup, right? In the bull market, you go to any investor and say, hey, I'm smart. Right, I know ABC, right? I know this guy and that guy. I know that this and that guy have funded me, give money. It's not difficult at all. I feel like that's a glamorous part. I mean, you know the game, right? Come on. You know the game is actually pretty straightforward, right? You have a narrative. You get one or two people to buy in. You create the social gathering, right? And then you play again, you get the money, right? The game is very easy in the market. But I feel like there's this crazy culture thing in crypto that's unhealthy, right? It's like they fall in love with the glamorous. You know, right? Oh, I'm cool. I'm a founder. I raise money, right? From whoever, right? But that's not the work that's easy, right? That's the equivalent of the layup, right? Like raising money in the bull market is literally equivalent of a straight layup. It's easy, right? You should be proud of that at all. But can you sprint 5 times over the court, right? Play really hard defense. Can play really hard defense. So have one guarding you and then make a 3-pointer. That is hard.
The hard part 100% comes after that raise. And it's like, also, can you stay focused enough in the bull market after you raise that money? Now, all of a sudden, you're flush with cash. What do you do? Like, it's really hard. And it's like, can you stay focused? And then what happens when the bear market comes? And that's where the focus really comes into play, is like staying focused and lean. I think we're coming into a pretty big bull market, I think. And it's like, you got to remember to stay focused.
I'm going to write about you pretty soon, but the bears will kill you, right? Bears are calm and quiet. you don't fuck with them, they won't kill you. And saying, right, you know what kills you? Raging bulls. Angry, raging bulls. They kill you, right? In the last cycle, right? Who killed us, right? No, like literally, it wasn't the bear market that killed us, right? The bear market helped us. The bear market saved us. The last 2 years where we had to just build stuff and then just totally had to really rally the entire team to focus on foundation, right? You know, I had to rally my entire team to say, okay, let's focus on UX and usability and liquidity aggregation, all that stuff, right? And build the best algo, right? The bear market saved us, right? What killed us, right, was the last bull market, you know, the raging bull, right? And those bulls came in the form of the FTX conglomerate. It came in the pool of the Lunar Tornado, and it came in the form of a super narrative, right? You know what I'm saying? So those things killed us, not the bear market. The bear market saved us. That's the thing that people don't understand. They're really scared of the bear, right? All my fucking community is scared of the bear. I love the bear, man. The bear is great. You know, I love the bear. You know, I'm scared of the bull. You know, right? Yeah.
For founders listening to this, because I know there are some out there that listen to the show, how do they keep their eye on the ball with all these distractions?
Don't get caught in lifestyle, man. Dude, the crypto lifestyle is terrible, man. Like, seriously, man, don't get caught in lifestyle. That's why it's horrible. It's a really bad lifestyle, man. It's like, I'm quite sure it's no different from anything, man. You go to the music industry and you make it big, and then everyone, you start to be hot, right? Then everyone's after piece of you. What's the song? The 8 Mile? What was the song? 8 Mile? 8 Mile? Song?
8 Mile, yeah, something like that.
But the song is that he was like, hey, you know what? When you're hot, all the girls come, and then we are gone, they just go. I mean, it's actually very similar, right? It's extremely similar, right? Extremely, extremely similar, right? So the most important thing is that don't believe your own shit, man. Like, when you're hot, you are not hot. You are not hot, full stop. You don't believe in your own shit. You're saying, right, you know, right? You are not hot, full stop. Don't believe your own shit. But similarly, when everyone dump you, right? You are not down either. You're not bad either. You're the same person. It's so difficult though. It's so difficult not to go like, I'm the best person in the fucking world. I'm the smartest, right? You think, no, right, what, when things are going well. And then when things are poorly, you're like, oh fuck, I start everything to die. You know, so I feel like maintaining that spiritual poise, you know, I think it's actually really important. You know, just cool. You know, like even when everyone loves you, dude, chill. You know, you're not that great. You know, similarly, when everyone dumps you, yeah, you're not that either. You know? Yeah, so I think having that, you know, cadence, you know, important.
Yeah, I love that. How did you get into this space? What were you doing before all this, before Jupiter? And did you do stuff before crypto? Like, I don't know any of your backgrounds. So I'm just curious, like, how did you get to here?
I'm a cat. So before crypto, I'm a cat. After crypto, I'm a cat.
Tell me about that. I'm actually, that was like kind of my question actually, is like, where did Meow come from? Like, what's the story about the cat?
I feel like that's the thing that I kind of don't want to talk about. It's one of those things that is very personal, and one day I'll talk about it, but now I prefer to talk about the crypto, I think. Yeah.
Cool.
That's how,
yeah.
I prefer to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem. I was just curious. Yeah, so let's talk about the future then. Like, Jupiter is doing really well. What are you excited about that's coming? You know, it could be specific to Jupiter or just generally in the crypto space, like the future of the internet. What's most exciting to you that you're seeing getting built, either that you guys are building or that others are putting together?
I talk about the meta a lot. I kind of coined this space called decentralized meta. And the whole idea there is around like a world where people don't just buy crypto. I feel like buying crypto is somewhat mainstream already. You know, Robinhood, Coinbase, and like and every other mother and their son is like, you know, advertisement asking you to buy crypto. It's going to get worse in the coming few years. I'm very, very sure we're going to see the new generation of TikTokers, you know, who are going to be like shilling some coin. I'm not interested in that. I'm really not interested in that. People are excited about it because it brings them money. And capital is a lifeblood industry, so I get it. You know, but I'm personally a lot more interested in using crypto, right? In the using crypto. And the reason I accepted about the using crypto is because I really think that, you know how earlier in the crypto, we had this like fantasy talk about, oh, crypto can be used for remittances and payments and financial system and social and data tracking, all that kind of juice, right? And none of that came true. Zero, right? But I think we are now finally at the point where we can see it potentially coming true. And it turns out that for this vision to come true, right, it's a whole range of things. You need a lot more people to be comfortable with wallets. You need people to have the capital. You need stable coins. You need multiple kinds of stable coins. You need easy liquidity. You need utility. You need everyone to be on one network. You need network to be fast. You need fast networks. You need all these things, right? And you need enough people to know the risk, everything, right? So I feel that that's actually the one thing that is possible now, right? You know, that we start shifting the world, people just start using crypto, not just buying crypto. The other reason why I'm interested in that is because I think Jupiter, I hope I'm not bragging here, but I think Jupiter is in the perfect spot to kind of like help to bring this thing, how to bring this new phase. You know, first of all, we're on Solana, right? Which is obviously a huge deal in terms of like speed and accessibility and everything, right? And secondly, is that I think the one use case that is everyone does, whatever you do is trading, right? Trading is always your entry point in crypto. And so it's kind of like by building kind of like the best trading experience, we are good, like, first touch point, right, into using crypto. And then when we have a critical mass of people, like, as the first touch point in crypto, then we can actually bring them to everything else. You know what I'm saying? All these awesome communities, all these awesome use cases, all these awesome utilities, right, and all these investment opportunities, you know? That's what I'm really interested in, right? I mean, I'm really interested in a world where we start a new wave of pushing, right, to make using crypto mainstream. And I really, really want us to kind of be helpful to the effort, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's definitely what I'm excited about. I'm also really excited about things like Helium and like Baxis. I don't know if you know the Baxis team, but they're tokenizing whiskey, like wine and spirits for that.
Oh, really? That's cool, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. And they enable you to trade those assets for collectors. It's a lot like the NFT market. Like there are people who collect, you know, high-end bottles of wine, high-end whiskeys, but it's like an illiquid market that is hard to access. Like you'd have to go to a place to buy a bottle of like a rare bottle of whiskey, right? And they're using blockchain technology, right? They're able to create, you know, a liquid market. And then because it's all composable and on chain, there's like these network effects of like other things you can do with it, like collateralize it for a loan. Like I know people with like $1 million worth of whiskey sitting in their basement, you know, like.
The biggest challenge with all these RWA stuff, I mean, I also love how we as an industry create all these buzzwords like RWA, you know, about web, right? I think the challenge with all these RWAs is that like, it's like Circle, right? It's a USDC, right? You know, it's like you have to trust the entity. And I feel like Circle is probably a really, really good example of RWA. I think we don't talk about it, but I do actually think that Circle is by far the best example of RWA, you know, right? It's like, okay, cool. It's cool, okay, that they are like, okay, they have built they built an entire company infrastructure. I tweeted about this before, right? You know, because we look at them quite a bit. And then, you know, they built together a really robust like regulatory and financial and logistical and technical system, right? To kind of like maintain that link, you know, right? And I feel like that's actually a challenge for a lot of other RWA stuff, which is like, how do you get to the point where, because your tech is simple. You are simply using a lot of the tech that's been built, like fractionization and AMMs and everything. So you're not really into anything there. So RWAs are very, very operational, you know, right? You have to, okay, they're really kind of operational, that supply chain, you know, right, between real world assets and this thing, and really kind of build a trust and record system and time. You need time. People trying to charge you over time. I feel like that industry or the whole RWA industry would take some time to build. And it should take some time because it's actually really easy to start an RWA company. Every bull market, I receive like 20 over pitches, right? Investment pitches saying, oh, please invest in me. I'm working in A and B and C big name company, you know? And then they always end up going nowhere. Because like building out their supply chain, right? You know, like their supply chain is, and being open enough about it and growing enough, it's actually really fucking hard. I think very hard to get right, you know? I'm personally waiting for the next generation of RWA projects to come up, you know? I think my personal challenge there is that like, I will literally need to set up like my own. And I'll be honest with you, I don't trust VCs to do this. You know, I don't trust VCs to do this. The whole FTX incident have totally 100% convinced me that most investors are not equipped to understand things when it comes to complicated setups. You know, right? They're very good at understanding things when it comes to a single setup. For example, say you're investing in this domain or that domain, right? But because the things that RWA, it really spans across like, multiple setups. And they're just not good at that stuff. For me to actually really take it seriously and to set up my own team to kind of like with like regulatory, financial, technical, operational expertise and do audit on things, which obviously I don't have time to, right? You know, but I think that would what I would do, you know, if I'm going deep into RWA. So for me, that's a challenge, right? I would love to support RWA, right? Stuff. It's very, very hard for me to support something that I don't have full visibility into the or understanding of the critical elements. You know? Yeah, that has
yeah, I totally get it. Yeah, and you're right about the trust. Like in the Baxis case, they digitally scan every single bottle. And they store it in a vault, and they chip them too, and then they associate that data with the NFT.
How do people know, right? The problem is that like the challenge is this, right? How do we know? It's not about Baxis auditing, right? It's like a fundamental thing that everyone needs to do, right? Is to have like really robust like, auditing system, and auditing is not cheap. Auditing is really expensive, right? The challenge is that auditing is very expensive, right? Especially when it comes to option auditing, right? It's very expensive. In the case of FTX, I bet that they probably showed the auditors, look, we had these assets here, right? But they didn't say who else had the assets, right? Saying that person A owned assets, right? It doesn't mean that person no one else has, you know, right?
Yeah, I think that the audit point is really good. And I know there's like some technology where you can tell where Walmart does this, right? They chip almost every item in their stores. And so, you know, they know their supply chain is insane because they know exactly where everything is. But still, like you're still having to trust that data, which is hard.
I feel like it's possible. I actually want to see what will happen. I just think that people are underestimating the amount of like and the amount of cost and everything that will be needed, you know, to actually make it happen. And also fractionalizing also is also tricky because of ownership, right? I'll give you an example. For example, say I own a house and there are certain rights I can do to the house. I can sell it, I can rent it, I can renovate it, everything. So it comes with a large number of like the entire bylaws, right? Or how what you can what can do, right? The thing. But then when you fractionalize the house, it becomes more complicated, right? You know, it's like, okay, who do you have a DAO that decides? So the DAO technically decides what to do with the house per se. But you know, so there's this whole legal link as well, right? You know, between like who owns a house is probably an entity somewhere. You have both the centralized law and the decentralized law, right? I'm saying, right? And creating that link in the middle, okay, I'll be honest with you, every single RWA company I've seen, right, doesn't care about the link, right? They just treat it as not a problem. And they just go, oh yeah, it's something. And saying, but it's not something. It's actually very important. I don't think people actually care enough about like the very tricky intersections of rights and trust, you know, for RWAs, you know. But that's my thing.
Interesting to see how it plays out. We only have a couple more minutes here before we wrap the show, because I know you're a busy guy and you got a lot going on. But what have I not asked you that I should have asked?
I think one thing that I can just talk about real quick is failures. I think I failed a lot. You know? I think it's probably a good conversation for next time. I've done quite a lot in crypto before Jupiter, right? And certainly had a lot of wins, you know, but also had a lot of like failures, right? You know, so I think a really fun question would be like, okay, how these successes and failures, you know, change the mindset of things, right? You know, I think that's a really good topic, I think, you know. It's probably also a topic that I'll be really interested in hearing from most people. I'm quite sure it's same for Tolly as well, for example. I'm sure she failed in many things, succeeded in many things. I'm quite sure Vitalik as well, you know, Vitalik, I'm quite sure Vitalik had massive, massive win, obviously, but I'm sure she also failed a lot. Right, you know, I think a lot of his ideas end up being wrong. So I think it'd be really interesting, I think, to hear that perspective. You know?
Do you have like one anecdote you can share quickly, like a failure that you went through and a lesson learned? Like just something?
I will say that like dropping the ball in terms of like what the user cared about and what the community cared about is probably the biggest one for me. The moment you drop the ball in terms of like what the users need or in terms of like what the community cares about, which is, well, okay, for example, right, a lot of times the community doesn't care about your product. You know, right? They don't care about your product. Getting into the mindset of it, go like, okay, cool, you know what? I worry about like, all I'm doing is building product, right? You know, I think it's wrong. If you're in crypto, the community is a product, you know? So it's all one thing, you know? Being not understanding of that is probably one of the biggest mistakes that I learned, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I think that's a good note to wrap on. I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for coming on the show and best of luck. Hope we can do this again sometime soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, we can probably do a live thing you're talking about, right? That could be fun.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I would love to do one live.
One thing I'd be to do the live thing on probably would be we are entering the next phase of Jupiter. I think we're going to announce the token launch in January. And right now I'm like furiously, right? Just writing down as much as I can about the core ethos and what we're doing, right? And I think I should be done with those things by the end of December. Right, you know, so I think we can have a really good conversation, you know, around those things, you know. Yeah,
that'd be I would love to do that. We can do it anytime. If you want to hop on and do a live stream, I can do it anytime. January.
Let's do a proper in January, you know.
Okay,
let's cool. I'll send you all the materials, you know. We can take a look at it. We can brainstorm beforehand, kind of what the main things, you know. I can just go through that. I think it'd be fun.
Awesome, I would love that. Thanks so much.
Cool, man. All right, thanks.
You just heard the Index Podcast with your host, Alex Kahaya. If you enjoyed this episode, please give the show a 5-star rating and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your favorite streaming platform. New episodes available every other Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in.